For those of you who will stand for the reading of the scripture, please do. Mark the 12th chapter and Matthew the 7th chapter. We've got 6 verses all together to read today. Mark 12, 28 through 31, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Mark 12, 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, that Jesus had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There's none other commandment greater than these.'" Matthew 7, 13, 14, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." We trust God will bless the reading of his word. You can be seated. Reading these passages together, the topic is open heart, narrow way. Hallelujah. If your heart is not full and open with the love of God, if you don't love your neighbor as yourself, you can't walk the narrow way. Hear about the narrow way, it's a scary scripture because it talks about few that be that find it, and it talks about the broad way. It's not the road you want to be on. And then we know that the first commandment is to love the Lord, and I'll just shortcut it and say with everything you got, and then to love your neighbor as yourself. Somebody here finds it hard. Somebody on Facebook finds it hard to love your neighbor as yourself, because maybe you're having trouble loving yourself. Maybe something you did convicted you in your spirit, some lifestyle you were in, something that you were connected with that it took your heart a long time to get out, and maybe you're still struggling with it. And see, what we want to do when we are wrong is to admit our guilt of that offense and repent and go to God. But sometimes we allow that guilt to go into shame. Guilt says, "I messed up." Shame says, "I'm messed up." And if you feel messed up, and if you are continuing in that, it's going to be hard to love your neighbor as yourself, because you're having trouble trying to get yourself together before the Lord. Hallelujah. We know that love is at the essence of everything. The scripture tells us that God is love, and that's the only attribute that says God is love. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that no matter what we can do, what kind of exploits we do, that unless we do it in love, we are sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And unless we do it in love, it says, "I am nothing." Hallelujah. So the Jesus telling us to walk this narrow way precondition of being able to do it and to please God is we got to have God's love. Hallelujah. Now, God's love, we're talking about, is unconditional. And we know all about conditional love, don't we? We know about, hallelujah, somebody love scrapping us. That's a word I made up. That means they throw you the scraps like they do to a little puppy. You get a text once a year, and you respond and say, I love you. And then 6 months later, they say, okay. They love you while you got everything going for you. They love you while you can help them. They love you while sitting next to you makes them feel good about whatever. But don't fall. Don't have any trouble. Don't have a financial problem. Don't let it be known that there's some trouble in your family or you got a wayward child or something like that. Then they're trying their best to see how far they can distance themselves from you. Hallelujah. So we know all about conditional love, and that is the human condition. But this unconditional love allows us to go the narrow way, the way I've been going since last Thursday when I heard my big brother had passed away. And they asked me to do the funeral. And it's coming up this week. This Wednesday, I'm going to stand before my family and whoever shows up and give them whatever God gives me concerning my brother, concerning the word of God, to try to bless somebody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And I don't know what I'm going to say. I don't know how it's going to go, but I certainly trust God. Hallelujah. Because I love him and he loves me unconditionally. And the word of God says he won't leave me or he won't forsake me. Hallelujah. And that while I'm weak, his strength is made perfect. Hallelujah. And that his grace, hallelujah, didn't say Russell's ability. It says his grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. For us. For each and every one of us. Hallelujah. This is a grace situation. And we ought to live in aggressive grace. Trying to find somebody to bless. Trying to find somebody to honor. Trying to find somebody to encourage. Trying to find somebody that we can tell some good news to. Hallelujah. Open heart. But the way is narrow. Hallelujah. And what does that, mean? You got an open heart, got a narrow way. You're going to get hurt. Disappointed. In the narrow way, sometimes you even get tired. Going through the thicket, going through the narrow way, brushing up against what we used to call sticker bushes and all of that, and trusting God that he will help you. Knowing that in your own strength, Jesus said it best in John 15, without me you can do nothing. Hallelujah. That's good to know, right? So you won't be halfway down your path before you figure it out. And maybe be on the wrong path. But without him. So, the narrow way. I recently heard a quote about St. Augustine. Some say Augustine. I don't know how to pronounce it. But he's an early century religious theologian in this relation to the narrow way. He said, the cross is the pulpit from which Jesus preached his love for the world. That narrow way must include the cross. We are to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Hallelujah. And it is a faith walk. Now, what happens to us sometimes? I can speak for myself. Hallelujah. Sometimes I overthink and undertrust. I get myself in a mess. And then I have to go before the Lord and say, Lord, I didn't trust you. Lord, I tried to go it the way I saw it. I didn't follow the word. I didn't follow your leading. I did not operate in love. I didn't stay, hallelujah, as narrowly as you would have me. I didn't stay as close to that cross as you would have me stay. Hallelujah. And Lord, I need a reset. We serve a God that will give you a reset. Isn't that beautiful? Remember the story of a woman caught in adultery? It's a nasty story. I'm going to try to make it palatable for this kind of a crowd. They had some men who were trying to make an accusation against Jesus and using her as collateral damage, hiding outside a window or something, to catch her in the very act of adultery. Isn't that nasty? Isn't that cruel? And they brought the woman and didn't bring the man, as is required by the Old Testament law, and they didn't care if she got stoned to death. In their minds, they thought that either Jesus would follow the Old Testament law. In their minds, they thought. Of course, they had messed up when they didn't bring the man. But they thought they were following the law and said, either she will get stoned to death because we lurking outside the window, whatever, or Jesus will be proven to be not following the law, and we can bring charges to him, and maybe we can stone him. And Jesus was cool. He just was kind of like doodling in the ground and not paying much attention. And then when he finally started talking, he said, well, which one of you, just let me talk, 21st century, which one of you dudes is without sin? And then they began to walk away. If you're without sin, go ahead and get the rocks. And they began to walk away. Hallelujah. They looked up, all of them were gone. And he said, sister girl, where are your accusers? She said, I don't see them. He said, well, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. Just the point I'm trying to make about that. The effect of how Jesus handled this is he pushed the reset button for that woman. They thought they meant it for evil. God meant it for good. And as it turned out, the best thing they could have ever done was bring her to Jesus. Open hearts. But it's a narrow way. We're not free agents. We can't do what we want. We can't act like we want. We can't, hallelujah, mistreat people and think that because of who we are or how we think they may be something that somebody we can mistreat, it does not matter, hallelujah. We have, praise God, to operate in this love. And when you get off the love, get off the love path, you get off the take a praise break. Minister Malone and her baby, who was in the hospital almost 4 weeks, are here in the back of the church. Let's praise God. Let's praise God. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You are indeed a prayer answering God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It gets narrow sometimes. It gets skimpy sometimes. Sometimes you look around. Now, hey, look, she looked around, there were no accusers. there were no friends. There was nobody willing to stand between her and this messed up accusation, this nasty entrapment, and say, no, 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 what a man is. And sometimes in our lives, we have to go it alone before the Lord. And we have to stay so connected to him that we're really not alone. But sometimes the human support, the brotherly love, hallelujah, is not there. And we have to find a way, praise God, to push past our pain, to push past this feeling of being alone and stranded and left to our own devices, and find a way to give God some praise, and find a way, hallelujah, to realize that each day, no matter how painful, no matter how messed up, no matter how people are treating you, hallelujah, it's a day that the Lord has made. And we can't. Scripture says we will rejoice and be glad. Not tomorrow, but in it. Hallelujah. Even if your circumstances get worse, we can praise him that day because of his goodness, because of his connection, because of that price that was paid on Calvary's tree, that blood that was shed, that blood shed 2,000 years ago, that blood that has contemporary 2025 power, that blood, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, that tortured body, that beaten body, that body stripped naked on a public road, that body tortured, mistreated. This Jesus said, my body broken for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why? Because there was mercy and justice on that cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The good news is all the mercy was for us. The justice was that a just God required a payment for sin. A just God could have required us to pay. Jesus going to the cross got all who have sinned off of death row. Hallelujah. He went our bond for us. He was the substitutionary payment of justice that a holy God required. Hallelujah. And we, none of us, no person who has ever lived, could ever deserve or earn what Jesus did in that 3 hours of agony on the cross for us, our children, our mama, our grandmama, every person that ever lived, people who have not yet been born. Hallelujah. But there's a narrow way. You can't accept what Jesus did for us, the redemption and the salvation and the deliverance and the healing and the opportunity to have our sins washed away, and refuse the narrow way. You can't do that. It's all connected. Hallelujah. And you can't say you walk in the narrow way, the cross way, the crucified life, the born again, saved, hallelujah, by grace, faith inspired life, if you don't love people, if you don't love God, if you don't trust him for your day. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to say this little saying I have. I'm just about through. You serve a God who does not change, but he gets sweeter as the days go by. Now, how does he pull that out? He doesn't change, but he gets sweeter. He gets sweeter because we walk with him for a while. love him more today than I did when I was 19 years old and I first received him. I love him more today than when First Lady Renita and I said our vows 46 going on 47 years ago. I love him more today than I did when we stood at the grave of our son 3 years ago. I love him more today, hallelujah, because over the years, what happens? He does not change. But we become more sensitive and more broken and less proud and more dependent. And his goodness, his greatness can seep through because we've got some open. We're not trying to do it ourselves. We are not free agents. We know how much we need it. We know we can't get out of the bed unless he says it. We know, hallelujah, that unless he speaks new mercy over your house, you're not going to get up out of it. Hallelujah. And isn't that a beautiful? Brash your house. Mercy. Let's keep the party going. Over the Perkins house. New mercy. Over every house represented here. Over the Bell house. New mercy. Hallelujah. It's by grace. He just gives it to you. He just says, here it is. Hallelujah. You can't earn it. Hallelujah. But it is a narrow way. The word I'm giving is a word of requirement. You can't say, well, I enjoyed this part and I enjoyed that part. I know we do that, and that's fine. But there's got to be something in this word that I'm speaking to you today that requires something of you. Else you missed it. You missed the whole boat. There has to be something, even if it's just one sentence. It has to require something of you, hallelujah, because we just can't stay where we were yesterday. Hallelujah. Can you? Well, let's look at this. This is simple. Y'all know I like illustration, and sometimes I do them too much. And I'm about to bring out that chair if y'all. I got a chair illustration I've done, young people, right here on the third row. I've done it about 7, 8, 10. Sick of it, but I'm threatening you, I might do it today. but anyway, we're on a pilgrim journey, right? We're pilgrims and strangers, the scriptures say. You gotta go forward on this journey. I gotta look for my daughter here, she don't want to see the chair. But we go forward, right? You came back up. You can't back up because it's a journey. And whenever our journey is over, it'll be over, right? And everybody in here is here for a reason because your journey is not over, right? We got some people we love, 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 and their journey ended. And we wondered, Lord, I'm still here. It must be for a reason. And I got to keep going. And then along the way, the Lord began to bless us. We begin to bless other people. We trust God some more and more. And we begin to learn more and more and more and more how much we need him. And here comes the chair. I got a mixed reaction on that. I don't care. Y'all know I don't care. Hallelujah. You see where I got that chair from, this first row, right? And sometimes we get out of place. This chair's supposed to be on the front row. And sometimes we mess up, right? We get a little bit of the world on us. We sin. God forbid we might be like the woman caught in adultery. We get in all kinds of struggle. And then what is this, saints? This needs classroom participation. It's just a chair. What is this? It's still a chair. then we serve a God who specializes in setting the chair right back up, dusting it off. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I heard your prayer. I heard your cry of repentance. Hallelujah. I'm going to dust y'all. That lust, that attitude, that fighting spirit, that competitive nature, that high temper, that lust, that lying. And not only that, I'm going to restore you. Hallelujah. Not just to your original position, but to God's original design. And all God's people said, hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask your blessing. Sanctify this word in the hearts of your people. When people listen later on Facebook or through other remote means, Lord bless and let this word come alive again as they hear it, whether it's by audio, video, or whatever. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.